This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Guess what, Brent?
Is it Friday?
It's Friday!
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to the place to be, to listen to talk about local issues, ideas, institutions, and individuals. We have the great fortune this month, usually about once a month, we get a county commissioner from Marion County to come in and talk to us about the goings-on. And because they all have such different personalities...
Indeed.
And they all have such different areas of expertise. It's nice to rotate them. We welcome to the studio Kevin Cameron.
Yeah.
There was a round of applause here.
Yes. Kevin.
Thanks for coming to the studio.
Welcome back.
It's good to be here on Friday. It's Beaver Friday, too. That's why I'm wearing my orange.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
All right. If you didn't live on the opposite side of the county or in a different county, I'd invite you over to watch it tonight. But you'll probably...
We'll be watching.
Be up in the hill. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So he is wearing his Beaver orange. They're going to surprise everybody and take down Washington.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be.
I'm actually rooting for the Beavers to do that.
That would be
well,
fun.
As long as they beat my Golden Bears, might as well root for them to win everything else. Right?
Sure.
They've already destroyed my Golden Bears. They beat UCLA. And right now, so you're Beaver, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
Commissioner Cameron is here.
Class
and
of 80.
I went to UC Berkeley. So the Golden Bears. And they went 4-0. And we're going to be one of those, hey, when was the last time a team went 4-0 and ended 4-8?
Right?
And so right now I think I'd lay my money down on the Beavers to get to 6 wins in a bowl than I would lay my money on the Bears to get to 6 wins and win a bowl. So good luck.
Let's hope. Yeah.
All right. Lots of things to talk about with the county. I've been holding back a few things specifically to talk to you about.
Oh, boy.
We talked a little bit about cities and counties. Banding together in their timber counties to sue the state and ask for the money that they're not collecting because of how they're managing or mismanaging the forests. And Marion County is one of those counties, right?
Yeah, we're in the class action lawsuit with other counties, correct.
Okay, so give us a snippet of what the argument is.
Well, I have to be careful. Obviously, there's a there's a legal issue going on. But basically, it boils down to the state forests that were... given to the state, or actually the state took over as a result of the depression and lack of private timber, people being able to pay the taxes at that time. There's an agreement that they were to manage those on a sustainable revenue basis for the counties. And the counties get a chunk of that revenue that comes off of the harvest from those forest. So that has not been happening to the degree of sustainability that is possible. So Linn County was the lead on this lawsuit. In fact, that's where the trial's taking place right now or next week, jury trial. And I'm sure there'll be challenges depending on the outcome of how that works. But it's for past dollars as well as future dollars from the revenues off those timbers.
Which would result in a huge change in the status quo and how they operate the business.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's two issues. There's two issues here. Those state forests are obviously used for recreation and some of those other things that benefit people. But you think of not only the revenue that comes to the counties as a result or should come to the counties, but how about the revenues that would go to the citizens in their pockets that would have those jobs in those mills and those products so for example, up in the canyon where we've got two mills, Frank Lumber and Ferris Lumber that have between the two of them probably about 700, 800 employees up there.
Wow. Wow. You don't think in terms of that big of an employer right there in the canyon.
Right.
So, yes, the jobs, the taxation of the equipment and the mills and the business, I mean, it's all about the vitality of the economy, you know, for everybody and
right.
the livability. So, and it is a balance as well, right? So we see the lawyer for the case, he's been quoted in the newspaper of saying, hey, this is a breach of contract case, period. This is a breach of contract case because you agreed, and then that's where I think the two sides.
Think of the PERS rulings, right? You know, you can't change the contract, right? And, well, you know, have your cake and eat it too. You can't change the contract. I mean, I was looking at the logic of what they're saying here. Well, if you can't change the PERS contract, why can you change the contract that you have with the counties?
Right. Right. And we live in a day, and we preach this here on Newsmakers. We do live in a day. And I told a story recently. We're talking to Kevin Cameron, Marion County Commissioner, back when you were the state representative. And he was having a conversation or presentation that there was a proposal in the Tillamook Forest to log it at 85% of what's a certified sustainable. Sustainable, renewable resource forever because God provided it, right? Mm. And that you can guys can get that passed. And right. It was 15% below the level that was sustainable. And right. So that's the part of the management. It's like, hey, you're not maximizing the income that you promised us would come.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, one of the things, Brent, is I get to fly every once in a while on a beautiful day like this. Mm-hmm. And when you fly over the Cascades, you can look down. I wish we could take every elementary student and take them up into the air and show them the garden. Show them the garden. This square is maybe, you know, just planted. This square is 10 years old. This square is 40 years old. 50 years old. You can see the garden, right? You can just continue to grow. And what's it do for carbon?
It sequesters it.
It does. Put it in a home forever, almost ever.
Why don't they just let it burn up?
Oh, yeah.
I think they're doing that already.
Oh, those poor people in California this year. Wow.
Oh, that's just devastating.
Does this take a lot of county resources to participate in the lawsuit?
No, not that much.
It's being pooled.
No, right, right.
And how long do you think this is going to take before we're going to rock the world with judgment?
Well, you know, I hopefully before, you know, my grandson goes to college, right, we'll see some sort of change. You think of the ONC and the lawsuits that we've had, and it just continues to be taken to court all the time.
So I think the argument probably is going to be we are managing it, but we're balancing it to include these recreational uses and habitat uses and environmental uses and so forth.
Yeah,
and then they're going to argue that it's a matter of, well, your priorities and usage. And the inference we get from the news articles and the direct quotes from the attorney that's representing the class action is, no, you said you would do this for revenue. Where's mm-hmm. the revenue? We're short
right.
hundreds of millions, right?
Right?
Okay. All right, good stuff. We're talking to Kevin Cameron. He actually knows a lot about the canyon. It's nice to have, if you never look at a map of Marion County and how it's shaped and how it thins out and goes up the San Diego Canyon, and it goes a big block of it, of course, here as we border Polk County. And then it goes all the way north to Aurora. So there are a lot of different things you have to pay attention to, different economies, different populations. And it's nice to have Commissioner Cameron have so much interest and knowledge about the canyon all the way through Detroit, because that goes close to Hoodoo, doesn't it? The property line?
It goes to the Whitewater River, which is up past Idana.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back. We're going to talk about Detroit. We're going to talk about I don't know if it's a controversy or not, but Kevin's going to tell us about the RVs and are there too many and how do you zone these things? I'm Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne. Stick with us. You are listening to 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back to our Friday show, folks. Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne and County Commissioner Kevin Cameron of Marion County. I always have to specify that because we have so many Polk County listeners. And if you're in Polk County, don't call Kevin.
Oh, yeah, call me, and I'll just call Commissioner Pope or somebody over there. Yeah.
So I was a little bit bemused but a little bit curious as well in the article in the Statesman Journal a while back about the RVs, and is this a controversy? Is this a one person complaining, and is this a solution in desperate need of a problem. So RVs in Detroit, it does kind of intersect with land use and intersects with water availability and the
recreation.
The recreation, the actually revenue for a very tourist-driven area, mm-hmm. And the availability of water, and the limit of number of properties that are up there, right? So what's your take on this? We're talking a little bit about the break, and you were a little perplexed.
Well, it's interesting that Bill from the Statesman Journal called me. I mean, that issue came up last summer when the city council actually took it on up there, the planning commission. It was complaint driven. I think there were some people. They have ordinances today that allow you as a property owner to have an RV. If you meet certain qualifications, you can rent it out you can have an RV for the certain period of time, for the summertime. They need that. The businesses need that. If you talk to Dean O'Donnell at Mountain High Grocer, or you talk to Canes, they want those seasonal RV pads up there. What happened last year was there was, I think, one, maybe there was more than one citizen who abused the privileges of having RVs on their lots. It was complaint driven. This is my take on what happened. Planning Commission said, okay, well, we're going to look at it again, and they put these things together. I wasn't there, but I understand they had a full house packed to testify against these new ordinances because people had made investments under the existing ordinances. And the key there is if you have an ordinance, you got to enforce your existing ordinance. Go, you know, it's kind of like the legislature. When something bad happens to one person here, what do? We make a whole new law to protect the rest of us. And, you know, sometimes you just need to go after the people who are not obeying the existing laws.
That drives me crazy when our good-hearted legislators pass a law and limit something that we can do because one person abused something.
Right.
Right? And it's a very, very long list of those things. So there were some quotes in the article about the limits of land that's available,
right,
especially for building lots. One person was saying, well, I bought this lot, but the septic can't go on it, so I can't build a house, and so the RV is the only use for it and things like that. And, of course, clean water and sewer. That
so I live there. Mm-hmm. I live there in a home. Somebody calls it a double wide, but it's pretty nice, right?
Okay. Nice double wide.
Yeah, but I also have two. I also have two lots, and each one of those lots is 5,000 square feet. You think about it, that's a small lot, but there you could combine them to build a house. So what happens is we're working as a county. We're working in the whole canyon to try to bring a sewer system up there. For those people so that they would be able to build on smaller lots and be able to abandon the sewer system or the septic systems and protect the water quality for these people that live down here in Salem, for example. So it's a challenging issue. It's going to take a long time and a lot of effort to try to put this sewer system together. But when it does, you think of Sisters, Oregon. And if you remember, not too long ago, you drive through Sisters, and it wasn't much of a town. Now you can hardly get through the town because they got a sewer system in there about 20 years ago, and the place just took off. So that's what I think some of these cities, you know, Lyons, Gates, and Mill City, Detroit.
So it is. Yeah. You do that regional solution. You get a pipeline. And when you say it's going to take a number of years, are you and I still working? Are you and I still alive?
I'm wondering if I'll be alive when the first toilet flushes on the new sewer system. Yeah,
it is a great idea. But how do you get a system like that paid for?
Well, that's the key. What Danielle Gonzalez in our Community Services Department, Economic Development, has been working on this thing for probably the last 4 years. She's doing an amazing job, and we just had a joint work session with the City of Salem. Because it's important that they realize part of this is water security, water quality for the people, the 220,000 people that rely on the water that's coming out of Detroit. You got the Three River Basin rule up there. You cannot discharge based on that rule. Whereas, for example, City of Salem here, they clean their sewer water. Mm-hmm. They discharge it back into the Willamette Valley or Willamette River. Based on the Three Basin rule, you could not clean the water up in Detroit in a sewer system and discharge it back in. So they have to come up with a different system, which would be more like a big giant septic system where it would leach into the ground, the clean water.
Really?
Or used for irrigation or something like that.
Some of the water, we should have the water treatment guys on.
Again,
We can talk about water treatment. Everybody loves that.
Right.
But sometimes I think the water coming out of the water treatment plant is cleaner than the water that's running off our roads.
It's true.
So
it is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
It's clean enough for the fish to drink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. So I favor it. I think it's a great idea. I think the infrastructure is going to be needed. The canyon population is going to grow. We need to have a solution there that's going to allow that whole region to have some economic development and have some quality of life and also to protect the water quality.
And we're in the phase of forming the district up there. The actual cities have signed resolutions that said they want to do this. So we're looking at how that's going to actually look right now.
Would it work like an urban renewal area where you'll have a district and you'll start some taxation and you build up a certain amount of money or a certain amount of revenue stream such that they can bond the improvements?
It would be, you probably wouldn't tax until you actually secured some bonding. It would be probably a fee based, right? Sewer fee based. And the way the system, you couldn't run a pipe up and down the canyon. You think about that canyon. What it would be is it would be a district that would service the three different areas and they'd have their own independent operating systems, but you'd have one person or one group that would be operating the three systems.
Really?
So you'd have Idana, Detroit combined, you'd have Mill City and Gates combined, and then you'd have Lyons and Mahama combined.
So it's not just one of those things that what we know always runs downhill.
Exactly.
Right? No, right.
We just run a big pipe all the way down to Salem.
Certain things are always running downhill. So... All right. I hadn't thought of that. You know, so you have three different systems rather than piping it all one place. You'd think you just put it on the side of the road. And
can you imagine how big that pipe would be by the time we got here?
We can't get to Salem. We can't get it to get here. You know,
Heaven forbid.
Down to Mill Creek, and we'll put everything in Mill Creek.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's change the subject. It was fun, though. And I think it's going to be critical, and hopefully we'll have a federal contingent that can help with that as well.
Yeah, they are involved. Every time we go to D.C., we let them know where we're at with that.
Good. Nice. I used to spend summers at Detroit Lake, and septic tank, didn't enjoy that.
Do you think, how is it playing out? We haven't talked about it for a while with the Army Corps of Engineers and the cooling tower
great.
And all that.
Right now, if you drive up there, because I drove down this morning, if you look over to Detroit, they've got it all fenced off. Well, that's a project that they've had planned for a while. They're redoing the gates that are now, 50 years old? The gates that regulate so that they will not get jammed and, in a flood and or we're in trouble. So that project's going to last, I think, over the next 3 years.
Wow.
They're doing two gates a year. That's a big project. They're doing the planning right now for the water mixing tower. If that goes forward, and they decided to do it follow the regular curve and not drain the lake to do that.
Great.
If they get the funding to go forward, that's planning on starting construction, I believe, in 2 years, maybe 3 years, that they would actually construct that tower.
And what's that tower supposed to do?
It's supposed to allow them to mix the water at the top. Because if you think about it, the water in the summertime at the top is warmer than the water at the bottom.
Okay.
And where they have the biggest struggle, and I've gone through the fish collection, I've been educated on this issue. The most difficult time, they hold back water so they can mix it over the top. You get warmer water to mix in with the colder water. Because you always got colder water when you're generating power coming out the bottom. What happens is in the fall, though, when the lake's down, you can't take water over the top.
Right.
So they have a real issue with water temperature in the fall during the legs and the spawning time to get the right temperature.
Okay.
So that tower will allow them to regulate the water temperature at more times throughout the year. That's what it's supposed to do.
Isn't there a side-by-side they're trying to find an alternative to how they get the fish on either side
as well? That would be phase two of the tower, and they were looking at hooking up this big screen that would collect the fish. So right now they get one fish for every one they plant up above, and they need 3 to 4 coming back. They do that through DNA testing. They can tell how many fish are coming back through that.
Wow.
If you ever get a chance, the Mento Fish Collection Facility right there is an amazing $30 million high-tech facility. You can go up there And Greg, the guy that runs it, if you want to set up a tour sometime, I can do that for you. He's fantastic at giving tours.
I have this image in my head of this like screen elevator, you know, that yep. just scoops them up and lifts all these fish and they're flopping in the screen, and then they go on the other side of the dam and lower them back down. And they're
well, no, what their plan is to collect them, put them in a truck, and take them down to this facility where they would acclimate, and then they would let them go. Huh. Or a pipe that would shoot them down to this facility. Who knows?
I think the pipe would be more fun.
You know, it's, you know, to take however many millions of dollars we're going to spend on all this, divide it by how many fish a year, and
that's expensive.
You know why the price of salmon is pretty high in the store.
Wow.
Okay, so power. You remind me of power. Obviously, it's a power generating plant. And who's paying for the improvements and the upgrades to the dam? Which taxpayer pocket is paying?
You, right? It's federal dollars, but mm-hmm. I mean, whenever you spend a taxpayer dollar, it's going to be federal dollars that are come back. It's always, you know, all of us that are paying those dollars. Those that pay taxes, excuse me, are paying for it.
Oh, good clarification.
Yeah, great clarification.
Those that pay taxes are paying for it. Yeah, you know, I like hydropower, and so I
love hydropower.
This week, we haven't talked about on Newsmakers yet, but all the ballot measures coming out about getting off of all carbon uses, you know, sooner than later. And I just think, well, that's already fine. That's fine and dandy, but you need to stop fighting, you know, wind power and hydropower. You need to start fighting all the other types of power if you don't want to have any carbon sources. But that's another show. We're talking to Kevin Cameron, our county commissioner for Marion County. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Covanta plant, how we burn our garbage, and how it intersects with the need for burning medical waste and how that's controversial. I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back to Friday. And free pizza Friday, too. Thanks to JC's Pizzeria, by the way.
I really like how Rich calls in every day, and he says that line exactly the same way every time.
He's a great guy.
He's amazing.
He is. Does good work in our community.
That's right.
Hey, welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. We're talking to County Commissioner Kevin Cameron. I learned so much during the break. Sorry you can't be here. But we'll try to get it out to you as much as possible. We were talking earlier about Detroit and RVs and water and the sewer needs. We were talking about a lawsuit. Marion County being one of the timber counties and cities that has a class action lawsuit against the state. That's playing out because we want to make sure that Kevin does not get bored in his job. Speaking of your job, you have we have three county commissioners in Marion County, and one has announced that he's in his last term, right?
So I am going to, you know, he always says when you go on the show, say something nice about him. Okay, Sam, if you're listening, which he's probably fishing today because he's on vacation, hey, I'm going to miss you. I really am. That guy, he's a solid, solid guy. Really.
Yeah, I did like the article that it was, you know, early 2000s, and he was putzing. He was putzing around. He's still a young man.
Yeah, and he had sold his business, yeah.
Yeah, and so not that he wasn't doing anything. He was volunteering, I should say. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. But there was a higher calling for him. So we've been pretty lucky to have him as many years as
16
years.
16 That's years. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I can tell you, everyone, Sam didn't do it for the money.
No, right? No.
He didn't do it for that massive county commissioner salary.
No.
He didn't do it for his PERS benefits.
Right.
And so he's been out there working, and we want to thank him. We'll have him back on the show before he goes away, obviously, a couple of times.
Yeah, he's got another year.
So that vacancy, you're already thinking ahead to which kind of people that you would like to see that you think would work well with you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And he's already endorsed a candidate, which was surprising right out of the
Well, he and I see things differently all the time, right? Yeah. So, you know, I'm just teasing him. Danielle is filed and up and running. You know, she's a local right here in the director of the Kaiser Chamber and just a fire plug. I mean, she just really has it going. I don't think anybody can outwork her.
Well, we learned that in the last election as she unseated an incumbent, longstanding incumbent for the school board.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to... seeing how this all shapes up, I think she's going to be one of those people And I've always said this in my business, you know, when I hire somebody, I'd rather have somebody who's like, whoa, I got to put the reins, come back here and let's figure this out, than somebody you got to keep pushing and pushing. And I think Danielle is going to be one of those people that's going to bring great ideas, new ideas. And you think about Commissioner Willis being, you know, a millennial or younger, and then Danielle coming in as a mom, as a business person, it's going to give us a really good, well, she's got to win an election, but if she wins that election, it's going to give us a really diverse group to work with.
Yeah, we have a lot of elections conversations to talk about here coming up in the next 6 to 9 months. As I said before the break, Hovanta is a company that does our waste to energy. I always have to say it right when Commissioner Cameron's here. Our waste to energy plant. I love the model, but they need more revenue, or they need to be in the black at least, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
We've talked, the last time you were here, we talked with Commissioner Brentano as well, that the legislature failed to give them a tax break for renewable energy
credits.
So right. You are creating energy out of waste, and they didn't get the credit, which makes it more problematic to stay in the black and keep the thing running.
Yeah, this whole thing is about the Oregon's renewable energy portfolio to get to a certain amount of renewable energy, as we talked about hydropower. I mean, all the big dams we ignore as renewable energy when we set that portfolio. I've always said, yes, I was in the legislature when we set the new standards. The existing renewable dams are not considered in our renewable portfolio. If you are a business person and you are trying to market your state as the cleanest energy state in the country, wouldn't you say, hey, this is all renewable? Anyways, let's put that behind us. But we're trying to reach this renewable portfolio standard. 36 other states, the United States government recognizes waste to energy facilities as renewable energy.
It is.
Yes. Not Oregon.
What?
And when we did the coal to clean bill back in 2000, I think that was 16. Legislature, we actually got it in there as renewable, but when we went to go to the Department of Energy, or Covanta did, to the Department of Energy to get these renewable credits, they said, oops, you didn't get the statute right. So they thought this was going to be an easy fix back in this last legislative session. Well, it got caught up in the whole carbon bill, and there's certain people in there that say, hey, look, you're burning oil-based products, so that can't be renewable energy. So if you think about plastics, well, we didn't manufacture these things. But if you want to go after somebody who's, you know, using the oil to manufacture the plastics, do that. But at least we're turning it into electricity that people can use and getting rid of it, instead of sending it to a landfill where it's going to sit there and get into the water and all kinds of things and come off as, what's that? That gas that comes out of landfill.
The methane comes out of
the methane, yes. which is far more toxic to the environment than the carbon dioxide that comes out of the facility.
We were talking during the break. This is intersecting with the public policy discussion on what to do with medical waste. And I don't know, medical waste, people might think, you know, bloody towels and something really gruesome. But really, you think about every time you've seen a doctor.
Take his gloves off.
They take their gloves off. They put it on. That's going to go into medical waste. Every time you get a shot, they take your, you know, blood samples or whatever, everything. And a lot of those are plastic as well, the latex gloves. And you want that sterile environment, right? We certainly want a sterile environment when we're in the hospital, but that becomes medical waste. And they deal with it by burning it. Now, there's a limit to how much the Brooks Burner, waste to energy facility can do. But if they do more of that by bringing in from the outside, that's a much higher margin product, right?
Yes.
So that
yes.
helps them stay afloat and helps Marion County continue to do this profitably.
Yeah, and you might be referring to the latest article, I think, that you read in the newspaper, that the limits, the contract, because we just extended the contract for 1 year. We didn't expand the limits on what they could bring in. It's the same. And they just had never hit that limit in the past. And I think the bigger issue here is our local medical facilities, Salem Health, every doctor's office, they're getting charged a regular rate, same as a garbage rate when this truck goes over the scale. It's, I think it's $80 a ton. If you bring in outside medical waste, it's $800 a ton. So if you think about it, if we shut down this facility, all our medical facilities are going to have to not only pay $800 a ton someplace out in Utah, but the greenhouse gases and the transportation costs to take all that stuff to another state. It's kind of like, it's kind of like we do stuff all the time to make our place feel really good about what we're doing. Meanwhile, we ship some manufacturer over to China where they just pollute the hell out of the earth.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just don't see it, right? It's so we gotta think really smart and not just, you know, about feeling good.
I heard a fact today that China in 45 days has ruined a year's worth of green stuff that the United States has done.
That was
this morning.
I was there in 2011, and I just remember I was there with Speaker Hannah, and I remember he would always say, why don't you come visit us? And they would kind of like laugh or whatever. And they would always tell us, sorry, it's foggy today. And we would go, this isn't fog. This is pollution, right? Mm-hmm. It's smog. And come to find out, they were kind of lying to us about the fog, and we were lying to them about coming and visiting because they couldn't get a visa. You know, their visas were limited to come out to visit us. So it was one of those things where that place was filthy.
That's how you control the population, is control the information that you can get, and the experience they can have.
Yeah.
Just look at North Korea.
We went from waste to energy to China.
Right.
So how big a business could this be for Covanta if they really start recruiting and marketing to a larger region to bring the medical waste here? That's one question. And how much public policy controversy would that create?
Well, we've got two numbers on a cap of how much, blue-gray waste that will allow them to bring in. And they can only burn so much anyways because of the temperature and mixing it with other products. So there's you can't just go unlimited. And we're capping it at a certain amount that I think it was 1,500 or 15,000 tons. I can't remember what that number is a year. So it's part of the mix, though, to make the thing work, to make it work. Because if you think if you can bring something in for $800 a ton versus $80 a ton, you're going to want to get some of that into the mix, but you can only burn it at a certain rate too. So, but the RECs, the energy credits, we're going to work this next session, the short session, to see if we can. We're working with our local delegation to see if we can get at least a 50% credit, and then we'll go back and see if that will work. We just don't want to raise rates to the people in Marion County.
That's the other option, folks. If you're listening, like, why are we talking about burning garbage? I thought this was Friday. We should
creating
be talking about
electricity.
Something fun.
Creating electricity.
It's creating electricity.
For those electric vehicles that we need.
And
that's right.
So the question is, for the credits, can you get our local contingent on both sides of the aisle to make it bipartisan? Can you get, you know, Speaker Courtney? Can you get Clem? And can you get people from Paul Evans and those three D's along with the R's and get them all collaborating saying this region needs it?
So last session, President Courtney actually let the bill out with the 50% credits. We know we got that passed last session. I met with Representative Clem. Representative Evans has said he would help as well. Representative Bowles, or Senator Bowles, and Representative Raquel Moore Green. The one representative that we need to get on board that we're still working on, the Woodburn facility is actually in her district, is Alonzo Leon.
So right. Some of the people, we're going to have to take a quick break here, but before we go, some of these people that are dragging their feet on this and preventing us from moving forward and really utilizing this tool in a sustainable way, can't you just put them in a room with a whiteboard and draw, you know, a flow chart? 80, this is 80 a ton. This is 800 a ton. This is Salem Health shipping to Utah for 800 a ton plus greenhouse gases. I mean, you paint a very clear picture that this is the best alternative when we've done a good job. Do we have to hogtie them?
I don't know why they don't see the hierarchy, because landfills are much lower on the hierarchy. The first thing is to reduce. Don't use something, right?
Uh-huh.
Reuse something, then recycle, and then convert it into energy. I mean, that's the hierarchy. The last thing is to put it in a landfill. And you try to site a landfill in the most fertile valley in the country, basically. The Willamette Valley is just, you know, we're the number one ag producer, and we do not want to put garbage in the ground.
All right, we're going to change the subject entirely. We're talking to Kevin Cameron. We're going to talk about public safety with the time we have left this Friday noon hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. Thanks for joining us. We're sitting with Proud Beaver, Kevin Cameron, Marion County Commissioner. All of you are listening to us now. You're preparing to take the rest of the afternoon off in preparation of watching the Beavers' mighty victory over the Washington Huskies.
You know, I was at the Duck game last weekend.
Yeah.
I went down to SC to watch the Ducks win. So I just want your listeners to know that I was there.
Well, that's good, because we're not giving you grief, because, of course, this is a Duck station.
Yeah.
And we'll be airing the Duck games and everything, but, you know.
We do have the Beaver Report.
We can be platypus around here. All right. Parole and probation, jail pods, funding of public safety, population growth, all of these things. We're going to finish up this last segment, because there's a lot of things that Marion County does well in public safety. It does always bother me, because some people will say the jail is full. The jail is full.
Yes.
And that's not really true. The jail is full to the capacity at which it is staffed, right?
And correct.
But you have more rooms, more cells, if you don't know whatever I call them. You've got a whole pod of cells, but there's nobody there manning them, and we can't put people in them.
Correct.
So where's the holdup in funding it?
$3 million a year.
Okay, will you take a check?
Yep, that's right.
We need a... Friends of Marion County Jail.
We spend over 75% of our general fund dollars in public safety when you add up juvenile, the sheriff's office, the DA's office. So of our $100 million budget, you know, almost $80 million is going into public safety. So that leaves you $20 million for the other things that we have to do. I want to say this, that they have been force releasing people from our jail for many years. There is one pod that's been closed. I don't know, it's way before I got here. That pod was closed back during the recession. What we're going to do is we've got that jail opened 30 years ago, I think, 88, I think that jail, 89. And we've got some infrastructure issues, big dollar items. I mean, $1 million items to redo locks, to redo some cameras, all kinds of technology things that we need to do, the computer system in the jail.
Hold on. Yeah. Let's explain to the listener what forced release means and how many people we're talking about.
So if the jail is full, right, if all the beds are full, somebody comes in and you've got to let somebody out. So you've got this matrix that says, based on the crimes or whatever they've done, they've got a matrix, and they say, okay, this person is a lower risk person to the community, so they've got to let that person out.
Yeah, even if they're supposed to be in there and they've been sentenced X number of days and this and that, you got to let them out.
Exactly.
Because you're out of room. All right. So the jail's older, you have the infrastructure needs, and we actually have a pod. It is modular in certain ways.
Right.
So it's not open.
Right. So what I was going to say is, why we're doing these upgrades in the other pods, we will move people over there and use that pod. That's how you get these things done. And then after that, in the next couple of years, then we'll be able to take a look at it. So we're going to build a case, try to say, hey, look, these are all the good things that we're doing. We've implemented the LEAD, which is law enforcement assisted diversion, to try to get people who have a drug problem that can be intersected on the street into programs where they can get the help they need. That program has been very successful in other places like Seattle. We've been doing that now for almost 2 years. Actually, the two of the gentlemen who are our LEAD advocates came through the system.
Josh,
amazing guys. These guys have turned their lives around, and they can relate to these people. We're doing We're doing our court teams, which is where we have mental health professionals with a Salem police officer or with a sheriff, and now we have one in Woodburn. So there's always somebody that they have a mental health issue, a deputy or a policeman can call that team and they can come. We don't take them to jail. We get them to the help they need from mental health.
So treatment instead of incarceration.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
And also you have, there's programs to lower recidivism in the county. And I know that release program that you've been heavily involved in that. And the juvenile system, you have a juvenile court and a drug court, right?
Yeah, we have a drug court. Well, you have a drug court. You have a vet court. We have a mental health court. We have district attorneys that are assigned just for mental health people or for families. It's an amazing system that people just would. I think you'd be impressed if you could just look at some of the flow charts of all the stuff that happens.
I think when people think of public safety, of course, they're going to think of Marion County Sheriff's Office and perhaps the jail, the district attorney, right, in that order. And then most people, top of mind, they don't go to parole and probation.
Right.
But that's an extraordinary, huge role. And if we don't fund it well enough, then people are taxed too thin, sort of like our system with our foster kids, right? And if there are not enough of them, then there's not enough caseworkers to monitor people who have been released and help them out. Help them out and protect us and make sure they've been monitored.
Well, we've achieved really, really good results in parole and probation. But this year, the legislature way underfunded that, and we're going to be
dire straits.
Yeah.
Yet it's going to be a situation where you have caseworkers. We'll call them caseworkers, but officers.
Right.
They're sworn officers, but they're attached to parole and probation. And
they're going to have more cases.
Yeah. They're going to have more cases, less time with each one, perhaps feeling overburdened, and you're going to have turnover. And nothing's more expensive in an organization, folks, than turnover. Yeah. So as a fiscal conservative, oddly enough, you want them to spend more money on these personnel.
Yeah.
How do you think, in a minute or so we have left, how do you feel that will go over when you try to make that case to the public, and especially the people who say, they're just asking for more money, those government people, that Kevin Cameron, all he wants to do is spend my taxpayer money.
Well, I'm trying to do the best I can with your taxpayer money, right? I'm going to have to spend it to give you the results that you're asking for. And when you ask the people in Marion County, what do they want? They want public safety.
Amen.
And they want good roads.
Mm-hmm. Darn right.
That's what we do. Good roads and public safety. It boils down. We got a health department that is very involved with our community to try to prevent things from happening. But the average citizen is saying, keep me safe, neighborhood, and give me a road that I can drive to and from work and get my kids to school in a safe manner. I mean, it boils down to some simple things.
Yeah, we're talking to Kevin
Cameron.
Wish it was
that easy.
Former state representative, now Marion County Commissioner. Been there a while. I just want to say thank you. That's a lot of institutional knowledge. I mean, you've been on the job a little bit, and you go to more and more nooks and crannies of the county. The breadth of the knowledge when you've been there for a while is huge. So it's nice to have you there. Why don't you stick around a while?
I'm staying.
Okay. Good to know.
I don't know if I'll make 16 years like Sam, but I'm going for at least 12.
Thanks for joining us, folks. That's our Friday. Take the rest of the day off and enjoy the Beavers' victory tonight. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Let's do it again next week on 1430 KYKN.
Have a great weekend.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.